Thank you. morning comes from Mark 1, verses 16 through 20. Hear these words this morning. As Jesus passed alongside the Galilee Sea, he saw two brothers, Simon and Andrew, throwing fishing nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," he said, "and I'll show you how to fish for people." Right away, they left their nets and followed him. After going a little farther, he saw James and John, Zebedee's sons, in their boat, repairing the fishing nets. At that very moment, he called them. They followed him, leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired workers. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your words this morning. Jesus Christ, we love you. I ask that you add a blessing to this message this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Continuing our series, Why Jesus? And I've got to tell you, I've thought about this subject a lot in my life. Having an older brother that went into ministry and became a pastor and went off to do the Lord's work, I've had plenty of opportunity to think about this. One of the disciples came up to Jesus and said, "Your mother and your brothers are outside waiting on you, calling for you." One of the disciples said to Jesus, Get this in Jesus' reply. "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who does my will, anybody who gets on board with my movement, and in my movement, that is my family." It's a little unnerving, isn't it? Especially for parents. Jesus is telling us that he's got a different idea for family. That makes parents a little nervous, I think. You know, when you join a fraternity, they give you a nice pin and a secret handshake. When you join the church and you join up with Jesus, you get stripped naked, thrown in a pool, washed, half drowned, and required to rebirth and be born again. You know what I'm talking about? What does that tell you about Jesus and his family? In Jesus' day, those who took comfort in the old way of things, the old order of business, they boasted of their membership in God's family, didn't they? They could say, "My family founded this church, I can do what I want to do. I'm not very religious, but I'm really spiritual." You heard that before? John the Baptist sneered at them, didn't he? Don't say to yourself, "I'm a dues-paying member, I can do what I want. I've got Abraham and Sarah as my parents. God can raise up a family out of these stones." If you don't want to be God's people, he can turn these stones into his family. God is determined to have a family, isn't he? But in order to have a new family, we must detach ourselves from the old family. That's the part that makes us a little nervous. When I told my parents, I'm going to tell a little story on you, Mom, so just sit there and take it. As the mother mother of a pastor that maybe you'll join a new church after today. I don't know. My brother that became a Presbyterian minister, he certainly wasn't God's child from the beginning. He had his wild days as well. And from what I understand, and I don't really know how I knew this, somebody said, but he had a jailhouse conversion and told God that he had changed his life and straightened out his life if he got him out of this mess. Any foxhole Christians in the group? When the bullets are flying, it's easy to say, Jesus saved me. When you're sitting at the bar having a drink with your buddies, you say, Jesus, leave me alone. Well, in about 2003, I got my parents in the car and I said, take a ride with me. I have something to tell you. We rode over to the Boynton Inlet, pulled up and stopped, and we're just sitting there and they're wondering what's going on. Because I just lost my first wife. This was just a few short weeks after she had passed away. And I asked my parents, I said, what do you think about having another son in ministry?
Oh, that'd be terrific. Oh, that must be the greatest thing, make us so happy.
Stunned silence. It's like your applause and laughter earlier. I don't know exactly what that meant. I said, I feel God has called me into ministry. Because you know what my feeling was after I said that was, and I've heard my parents express this, but when my brother went into ministry, they sort of lost a son. He went to Las Vegas, he went to Seattle, he traveled, he was in different places and churches, and they really lost contact with their son. And I feel that they, not telling stories on you, Mom, but they felt God has taken our son away. God has taken him and sent him out into the world to do ministry. And then here I come along some 25, 30 years later and say, hey, want another son to do that? Well, they weren't necessarily really happy with that revelation. So, I had to say, wait a minute, let me think about this. And then a couple of my brothers, not pastors, I said, hey, I'm thinking about going into the ministry. You know what they said? Are you nuts? Are you crazy? What's wrong with you? At that time, I had about 24 years with the state of Florida. I had a nice little pension coming along and really had things in pretty good order. But when God called me, I said, you know what? I'm going to just sell everything I own, cash out. I'm cashing out. I'm going to work for God. Family thought I'd finally split the cog. The true David was coming out now. He needs a little help. The guys in white jackets are going to come and get him and take him to a nice place. So you know what that did to me? Because I told you that was 2003, right? Well, I started then trying to convince God that they were right. My parents and my family were right. And that he didn't really need me. I'm nobody. I'm just out here doing life. Leave me alone. God was calling me away from my family. He was calling me away from my loved ones that cared about me. Did Mary care about Jesus? And when he wouldn't hardly claim, at one point in his ministry, he said, who are they? I don't know them people. Well, for about those of you that know my story, for about 7 or 8 years, I was trying to convince God that now, wait a minute, now my parents and my brothers might be right. Let's talk about this for a minute. So I did a lot of talking for 7 years. God didn't say anything. He had already told me about the news, so why did he need to keep trying to convince me? But for 7 years, I tried to talk him out of it. So in about 2010, I believe it was, I'd let the cat out of the bag that I had this call in the ministry. I don't know how God works in these little details that you hear me talk about. But one Friday evening, I'm sitting in my recliner with my feet up watching TV about 6 o'clock. And the phone rings. At this point in my life, I was like you folks. I was sitting out in the congregation enjoying a good message from the preacher, and I got to get up at 11 o'clock and go home and have the nice rest of my day. And on that night, about 6 p.m., those of you that know Mike Oliver, my phone rings. Mike Oliver says to me, and I've only met Mike Oliver maybe 3 or 4 times in my whole life in the previous 15, 20 years, so this isn't like we were buddies or anything. He calls me and he says, "You've been placed on my heart, and I've got a proposition for you." I'm like, "Oh, okay, what is it?" Well, there's this little church down in Lake Worth, Lakeside United Methodist Church. I said, "Yeah, I know. I went to that church when I was 5 years old. I sat over there, I told you, on that stoop and cried because I was a baby one of my mom, and I wasn't even going to Sunday school." But then on my first Sunday here, I also have to tell you that 45 years later, I'm the pastor of your church. So I went from not even going in a Sunday school class to becoming a pastor of this church. But the blessing in this is, God didn't rip me away from my family and send me to Tallahassee. He sent me 10 minutes from my house to Boynton Beach. And my parents are still here. They need me. And God has allowed me to stay here with my family and to be here for them. But that's not what Jesus did for his disciples, is it? How many of those fishermen, how many of the tax collectors, how many of the people that Jesus walked by and said, "Get up and follow me," and got up and followed Jesus and left everything behind? So see, Mom, God didn't do that to me. For whatever reason, He's let me stay here and do what I need to do for them. But He's also given me a ministry. So I went from sitting in the congregation to getting a call from Mike Oliver. In about 3 or 4 months, I was standing right here in this spot. Now that's not the way things work, is it? Those of you that have been in the Methodist system for very long know that you just don't pluck one of the people out of the congregation and stick him in the pulpit and say, "Go get him." That's normally not how this works. We're Methodists. We've got a committee that's got a Methodist, isn't it? But God said, "You know what? Go out there and grab that white-headed guy out there, that tall one, he's sticking up above the rest of them. Grab him and throw him up there." And that's what he did. And I'm still standing here today, stumbling and stammering, trying to do what God has told me to do. Some days I think it's okay. Some days I think it stinks, and they're all going to leave and say, "What is that moron doing there?" So I don't know what you all hear when I say things out of the Bible, when I read you scripture and prepare a message for you. But apparently God is softening your ears to hear the message. And I'm grateful for that. God hasn't ripped me from my family and sent me to the far-flung reaches of the planet. He's allowed me to stay here for this season of my life. But Jesus' story and the story of each of those men that He called to follow Him, who did they leave? They left some businesses, right? They left their families. They picked up their mat and left. Their parents was expecting them to stick around and help them in their old age. So that's what this chapter in the book this week is about. Jesus, the home wrecker. But in wrecking what we think is our family life and our home, What does he give us? What did I tell the children this morning? What did he give us? He gave us Jesus Christ on the cross. Because you know what? God wants us in family, in relationship with him. That's all he's asking. You know, as a pastor, I get to talk to people whose families have messed some of them up. We do our best, but sometimes kids get messed up or people get messed up in their families. That's why God has given us an opportunity to be in his family. Is God going to mess you up? No, he's not. God loves you so much that he gave you his son. It's the same message for you that I gave these children this morning. Do you feel, sitting where you're sitting right now, do you feel as valuable as God has placed value on you? Do you feel like a precious gem today? What do you feel like? I want you to think about that. What do you feel like today? Do you feel like that precious gem that God sent Jesus here give himself for you? This is where you do your head like this. Yes. God loves you. I love you as your pastor. We had a new gentleman show up in our congregation this week. You know what he said in the front of our Sunday school, in our Bible study class? He says, I can see you love these people. Tell me what, that's one of the best compliments I've ever heard. Because I do, I love you folks. And I care about you. And God has sent me here to be a member of your family. And that's what I'm doing because God sent me. God came and jerked me up. And said, I've got something else for you to do. In this particular case, he didn't rip me from my family. Because I think he's given me some time here. Because God loves me too. Amen. So I hope today you leave here knowing that no matter what kind of family you belong to, or where you think God is calling you in your life, know that you have an Abba Father. Not just your earthly father. You have a heavenly Father that loves you. Is there anything better than that? If someone has something better than that, see me after church because I want some of it. Because we've been given the greatest gift. You've heard me say that before. It's not our mother and father, our brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, family that we're related to by blood, although he does bless us with that. Our real blessing is that we're in the family of God. And that as the body of Christ and children of God, we're related to all those that are sitting around you that claim Jesus Christ as their Savior. When we do that, folks, we have a lot of brothers and sisters, right? Because you can go anywhere. The only mission work I've done out of the country is going to Cuba. I don't speak Spanish. But I went to Cuba and met a whole bunch of my brothers and sisters that speak Spanish. I didn't think anyone in my family knew how to speak Spanish. Until I went to Cuba and found out I got brothers and sisters over there that speak Spanish pretty well. Folks, you're blessed today to be in a family. Your earthly family might have hurt you. They might have loved you through a lot of things. You might have loved them through a lot of things. But your heavenly family, your heavenly Father has given you a family. He might have wrecked some homes in his disciples' days, but he gave them something better. So I hope you leave here today and look around you and see your brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus might have wrecked some homes, but he sure put some good ones back together, didn't he? Are we blessed to be in the body of Christ, to be in the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I think I'll stop there. I don't think I can say anything else that would make it better. The good news is the good news. That's all I can tell you, folks, is the good news. That's all I have. I can come up with a lot of flowery words and a lot of discourse and many, many words. There's only a few words we need to hear, and that's the good news of Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, thank you for the message of Jesus Christ this morning. Father, we thank you for the families you've given us here on earth, but even more, we thank you for the family of God. Father, you love us enough to send your Son, and Father, we love you enough to give you our all. Father God, we love you. We love you, Father. In whose name I pray. Amen. Please stand for our closing hymn today as Jesus calls us. How appropriate. Please stand.